In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Best of the rest of what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, to hear the lamentation of the women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, and we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your trade deadline headquarters,
bringing you the latest rumors on the trades that will probably never happen.
Yes, indeed. Of course, Chris, this is the trade NHL season. Deadline, and everybody's excited, and I'm going on every night and seeing who's going to get traded.
It's always such a big thing, and then nothing ever happens. And not only that, the trading rumors start 2 months before the deadline, right? Mm-hmm. They go and people get all worked up about these trades that eventually never happen. But you know what? You know what I think they should do?
What?
I think they should have the comic book trades.
A trade deadline for comics.
That'd be the coolest thing characters ever. Actually, get traded from
we could host that.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. The publishers have they start trading characters.
Exactly.
That would be the coolest thing
Wouldn't
ever.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be cool. Yeah. So it'd be hold on, let's start. And
the comic comic industry trade deadline today, and we have news to report. We have Dark Horse dealing Hellboy to Marvel for Ghost Rider.
Oh,
something like that.
Or even maybe something a big upset today. DC's Captain Marvel is going to be traded to Marvel's Captain Marvel.
That would be a heavy trade.
Yeah, that'd be a big trade.
IDW and Boom are trading Walking Dead for Uncle Scrooge. With options for Huey, Louie, and Dewey.
Now, there you go. Now, I wonder if that's because
that would rock the boat.
Yeah,
really.
For sure. Well, and Uncle Scrooge is pretty well a Walking Dead anyways, right?
Right.
That's good. I like that.
Wait a minute. Just over the wire.
Yeah.
The Bomb Queen has been traded to DC for Power Girl.
What? You know what? Really, those are kind of interchangeable. One's a villain, one's a, but still, it'd be good.
Mix it up, new blood and stuff like that. I don't know. Yeah. How about, Green Arrow to Marvel for Hawkeye?
Right?
The one isn't so...
One's deaf and the other one's just rich.
I went to the well too many times there. Hold on. Just over the tape, Chris. Just came to be.
Oh, dear. Here we go.
IDW trades Sherlock Holmes to DC for the Batman.
Oh, because they're the both greatest detectives.
In the world. You see how that came, mate. I need more beer.
Sherlock Holmes really should have been traded instead of Batman. Maybe the Elongated Man or something like that. Because he's still a detective, but
Yes,
right?
Absolutely right.
Yeah. It was all a bad move on DC's part.
Absolutely bad. Yeah. So let's dissect these trades, anyways, Chris.
That would be great.
Idea.
I think they should do that.
We're gonna submit that. At the next big huge panel at some sort of Comic-Con, we'll submit that idea.
I like that.
And we'll see where that goes. Anyway, Chris, back for both of us, I guess. We took a week off.
We're
back hard and heavy.
You were busy with some family stuff, and I was busy with some work stuff, it's all good. But here we are, we're back this week, and you know what? It is Wednesday, our favorite day of the week. Let's just jump right into new this week.
Chris, let's jump in.
Jump in. So first off on the DC pile, we've got the Savage Hawkman. Number 6 is coming out today.
The Savage Hawkman.
Yeah. That's right. Number 6. Yes. This is a big month of sixes, remember?
Yes, that's right. 6 months.
So, I chose this one because I have to say that, you know, this holds a little dear to my heart. This is has an appearance of the Gentleman Ghost in it.
The Gentleman Ghost.
Gentleman Ghost, that's right. So in case you're not too sure who the Gentleman Ghost is, basically,
help me with it.
Basically he's this guy that he's – okay, he's like the, you know, old Victorian era, so he's got like, you know,
a tuxedo
kind of thing, except he's got a monocle and a top hat, but you can't see his face. It's basically just a top hat and a monocle and like a cane that he carries around. Yeah, and it goes, yeah. And anyways, he's going to be fighting off, going face to face, I should say, with Hawkman.
Right.
No, Hawkman.
Oh, Hawkman.
It is the Savage Hawkman.
Right.
So anyways,
I thought maybe he'd be fighting Casper.
Well, that would be good. Now, talk about trades.
Yeah.
That is a
Casper
trade
for the Gentleman
there
Host.
There you go. That's right.
Okay.
Anyway, so.
All right, so that's from DC.
That's from DC.
And I'm sure there are all the other number sixes to
all
watch out that are coming this week at your local comic shop.
That's right. So next up, we have Avengers Academy is coming out today, or came out today, rather. And, of course, this is an important issue because this is the conclusion to the second semester storyline that we have going on right now.
It's the conclusion.
The conclusion.
The climax.
The climax, as it will. That's right.
Yes.
The veritable end.
Yes.
Well, until the next one.
Right.
Anyway, this is a good one.
So anybody that wants to know what the heck happened?
That's right. Well,
has to pick this issue up.
If you want to find out who killed an Avenger, this is the one to pick up.
Right.
And of course, this is actually what these are. It's the great artistic team here with Christos Gage and Tom Rainey. Really great guys.
Right.
So you know what? I highly recommend picking up Avengers Academy today.
Avengers Academy out today.
Yes.
At your local comic shop.
Yes, and always for our. Usually, we like to do an independent issue here.
Sure do.
So we've got Godzilla Legends out today.
Godzilla Legends.
That's right. So,
well, Godzilla in his own right is a legend.
Oh, he really is. Yeah. He really is. But the good thing about this one is they IDW has gone to the well of all the old Godzilla movies. And they've taken a look at all the different characters, and so every once in a while they'll bring back one of the classic Godzilla, foes,
like a Mothra.
Exactly.
Or whatever, right.
So in this one, we've got the smog monster Hedorah is coming.
Oh yeah.
So basically, this is a showdown between the two giant monsters.
It's like going to be like a climax.
A climax of sorts.
Right.
A lot of conclusions, climaxes,
climaxes.
A lot of that going on.
Climaxes everywhere happening this week, guys. At your local comic shop.
Well, and just before we finish off new this week, of course, we do have the kids' pick of the week is Mad Magazine. I figured, you know what, we've never really chosen Mad Magazine
that
as a
kid. That is such a cool magazine.
We've never really chosen it as a kid's pick of the week.
That
so,
was huge.
Back
in the 50s, 60s, and even 70s.
Even 70s,
it started tailing off in the 80s.
Yeah.
And you know what? Did you know, Chris? Did you know?
Well, okay, what's that?
That the first 23 issues of Mad were not magazines.
Right. Actually, I knew that.
You did?
Well, being the comic historian that I am.
Right.
Right.
Or maybe been 24. I believe it's 23.
Yeah.
I believe issue 24, it was the first magazine format.
Right.
And did you know why they went to magazine?
Well, why don't you fill us in?
Yes. I believe the story there is to escape the code.
Right, exactly. Yes.
I think Mad it was kind of that EC book, and the code came in, and most of the EC line went belly up because they weren't allowed to have horror and all that kind of stuff. And then that kind of risque, raunchy, whatever type of humor, rude humor that Mad was doing.
Right.
The way they escaped
was by
going to magazine format.
Right.
Which
is
the best thing that happened.
Well, oddly enough, so basically, it wasn't just the fact that they weren't allowed to print that kind of stuff. The words, like horror and terror, weren't even allowed to be printed as part of the title of the comic as well,
mm-hmm.
back then. So,
mm-hmm.
And actually, I got another little tidbit here for
tidbit.
You. Tidbit. So, Al Feldstein, who was
Alfalfa.
Al Feldstein,
sorry.
Was the classic EC artist and writer for a lot of the, a lot of those, Tales from the Crypt and all that kind of stuff. Well, anyways, so once Mad Magazine got underway, it wasn't really started, it was it was more with by those Harvey Kurtzman and,
yes.
and all the comic kind of guys, but
right.
Al Feldstein kind of took over as the editor in chief, but in his contract he was basically paid based on subscriptions, so and based on sales of the comic. So he was actually making a ton of money back in like the 60s and 70s because the magazine was selling millions of copies, right? So he wasn't just getting a salary. He was getting like a portion.
Oh, beautiful.
And then national publications in D.C., you know, because eventually they bought it up and they were like, hey, this guy's making too much money. They tried to actually, you know, cut him off and they couldn't do anything because it was all signed, sealed, and delivered in the contract. So he was making a ton of money at the time and it was good times.
All right, Crystal, that ends New This Week. And you know what? We better read our New This Week sponsor.
Right.
We forgot. New This Week is brought to you by Stan Lee. Come see me in London next weekend. I need to sign 30,000 autographs to make my half-mil goal I've set for myself. Excelsior!
That was not that bad, Walt. Not bad.
You know what? I mean, Stan, he is going to be in London at the con next week.
This
weekend coming up, which we'll cover later.
Yeah.
And he wants people to come because I think he's only charging £400 per.
Is that
of
flesh?
Autograph.
Of flesh.
Yeah. So
well, he's making the rounds because he's going to be in Pittsburgh as well this year.
Look at him go! Hey?
So he'll be around. Yeah. So I don't know what 400 pounds of flesh is in American. What's that? About a thousand or something like that?
Of U.S. fat.
That's a lot of fat. Yeah. A lot of fat. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's our sorry, Stan. We got it in.
All right, we're going back to the well here on one of our oldies but goodies. Here we have a little of the old Jimmy Olsen song for you.
Now who's the man behind the man, behind the mighty Superman? Oh, who's the guy he can rely on?
Right, Jimmy Olsen.
Jimmy boy,
Mama Olsen.
Swinging tune, Chris. Swinging.
I love it.
Absolutely love that tune. All right, Chris, let's keep the show moving. Let's get to
what
do we have? We have
Now we've got mailbag, right? And Comic Culture Mailbag is brought to you by the London Super Comic Con, February 25th and 26th at the Excel Center. Come visit Stan Lee. This message was a perk endorsement for the Stan Lee paid for by the London Comic Con.
Wow. Well, Stan is really squeezing those guys.
He really is. Well, yeah.
He's getting them to advertise for him and everything.
Getting it going. Yeah, that's right.
He's got that goal. All right.
Well, he's got the, what is it, $500,000 goal or
half
something
million.
Like that?
He wants to make $500,000 signing comics.
Well, I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will. If anyone can do it, he could.
He could.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, I'll read it. This one is addressed to you.
Oh, okay.
It says, the mailbag says, Dear Chris, I'm getting married and I'm thinking about getting a Hulk and She-Hulk figure on top of our wedding cake. I'm hoping to surprise her with it. What do you think? Ange from Hamilton.
Well, Ange, I've got a question for you. My first question is it the Red Hulk or the Green Hulk?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Because that could either make or break the whole wedding, right? Like,
you
I mean,
think so?
No, I'm joking. Honestly, you know what? I would highly advise against it, unless, you know.
Chris is a very wise man.
Unless, of course, you could somehow get the Hulk to dress up in a little tuxedo and top hat, and She-Hulk in like a bridal gown.
Right. The only thing I'm worried about is, would any woman want to be compared to a She-Hulk? Oh my God! You ruined my baby.
It could be. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Wow.
That's true.
All right. Well, I hope that helps, Ange.
Well, we'll see. We'll
congratulations,
see.
Ange.
Hey,
by
you know
the way.
What? Yeah, I mean, really, it should be a fun time. So let's just hope that everything goes well.
You know, for some reason, I have a feeling Ange has just got a world of hate waiting for him. But good luck to you, Ange, anyway. All right, Chris, let's move on. What are we hitting now? What are we hitting?
We're
hitting
now we've got industry news.
Industry news.
Industry
oh my God.
News
we already,
already
have
here,
to read
yeah.
another sponsor,
yes.
don't we?
Yes, all right.
Industry news is brought to you by Libraire Premier Issue, Quebec City's finest comic book shop, nestled neatly just within the walls of the old quarter at 27A Rue d'Autel.
Rue d'Autel.
Autel.
Autel.
Hamburger. yes. Anyways, Chris, I had to throw a plug in to my friend David at Premier Issue because I popped into the shop while
nice.
I was in Quebec City.
And
I was away.
What was
right.
it like? It was a good store?
Nice little yeah. shop. Right in the old historic section of Quebec City.
Cool.
So he's getting the, you know, the tourists walking by. And now, actually, I was surprised. He had, like, some old collectible comics in there, which
okay,
nice.
Well, yeah, my question is, so what is he selling? Like, I mean, I don't mean comics, but I mean, uh-huh. like, is he, like, are the comics, are they in English? Are they in French?
No, this are is, because they... I went to another one. It was kind of a Quebec, more French
okay.
design thing. Whereas this one, he's trying to do the North American kind of English
okay,
model
right, right.
of, you know, new comic Wednesdays, the new Batman,
okay,
everything
yeah.
in English
yeah,
type
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah.
He had a small section, obviously, for people coming in that were
for,
locals and stuff
right.
that were getting their stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, so it's a nice little shop, and yep. He's making it work in Quebec City. So
very
kudos
good.
To
very
him.
Good for him, yes, absolutely. Well, we always like it when anybody can start up a comic book store and do well at it.
Absolutely. All right. Listen, let's get into industry news. First,
yes.
we're going to talk about Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider.
Did
ugh.
You see the movie that came out?
I did
weekend?
Not. However, my friend Glenn Kay, who lives in San Diego,
right.
he went to go see it, and he said it was nothing to talk home about, I guess, sort of thing. Nothing all that great.
So it was terrible.
He didn't say it was awful, but right. he said it was nothing.
He meant it was
yeah,
awful.
He wasn't nothing spectacular. So, right. you know, he didn't say it was all that great. But
well, I mean, a lot of people. I won't say a lot of people agreed with him, but a lot of people stayed away from it. It took $22 million in the first weekend,
right?
Which is over half less than the $45 million the first one took in
well,
on the weekend. In
again, 2007. You know what? Like, really,
in
like I was shocked when I heard they're making a sequel. Obviously, I know the reasons why it had to
yeah.
do with the copyright and
yep.
it reverting back to the original owner if they don't use it. But really, like you know, if you're going to be losing money, what's the point?
Yeah, you know who's happy about this? I'm going to tell you who's happy about this. Marvel.
Yes.
Marvel's happy about this. Marvel wanted the property back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And these guys pulled this. Yeah, we're making a movie just before the rights diverted back.
Yeah.
And this is good news for Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
It tanked.
That's right.
And Marvel, because they're stupid, they go, yeah, we can make it work.
Yes.
They didn't make it
absolutely.
Work.
Absolutely.
So we're going to make it work. So I'm just seeing like some sort of Legion of Monsters
nice.
Movie coming up
yeah.
in a couple of years.
Hey,
remember, who's in the Legion
come on,
of Monsters?
Come on. Isn't like Werewolf by Night.
Werewolf by Night.
And Tomb of Dracula.
No. I don't think Dracula was
oh,
in it.
Oh, no. The Living Mummy is in it.
Yeah. Man-Thing is in it.
Man-Thing. Whoa. Wait a second.
Yeah. Man-Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And no, Swamp Thing. No,
no.
No,
it's
Man-Thing.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, new trade announced.
Swamp Thing.
DC is trading Swamp Thing for Marvel's Man-Thing.
Man-Thing.
Right. Okay. Anyway, where the heck was I?
Living Mummy.
Living Mummy. No. I think the Man-Thing was in it.
Yeah.
Hopefully our listenership can – I think Scott will
oh, I'm sure he'll probably correct us.
You bumpkins.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, it's easy when you're sitting –
Morbius the Living Vampire was in it.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. See, we don't have the internet in front of us,
right.
so it's easier for people to do that. Right. Just
and
to
Ghost
Google
Rider
it, yeah.
and somebody else.
But you know who's also happy about this whole Ghost Rider thing coming out and being a movie is Nicolas Cage.
Right.
Right, because he's getting millions no matter what.
Yes.
So
yes.
what does he care?
Yes, absolutely right. So, you know what, it's sad to see. I like to see the superhero movies doing well.
Right.
And, well, what are you going to do? All right. Speaking of, well, what are you going
to
do?
Well, yeah, okay. So this is going to be interesting. So, of course, for those in the know, we've got you know the Disney has the latest movie coming out, which is it even called? Is it called? I think it's just called John Carter, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's called John Carter.
John Carter.
Yeah.
It's just John Carter. That's
mm-hmm.
right. So people don't really know what it's all about, but really, it's about John Carter from Mars, or
Warlord
of Mars.
Of Mars
Warlord
yeah.
of Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this is by
Edgar Rice
Burroughs,
right.
who also did Tarzan.
Tarzan, yeah. And which I think this year, I believe this year, 2012, is Tarzan's 100th anniversary.
Oh, very cool.
I believe he appeared first in some sort of magazine in 1912.
I believe that, yeah. Some sort of pulp magazine.
Yep.
So Disney has this huge movie coming out, $250 million plus budget.
They sunk $250 million into a character
that nobody knows.
But
you know what? That's fine. I don't know.
Is it?
Well, yeah. Because you know what? Like, if you can get a movie James Cameron's Avatar coming out, and
yeah, I guess you're
it's
right.
a completely brand new idea. Well, not I don't know, brand new idea, but nobody knows the characters for all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But my problem here is I don't think there's going to be any fantastic new technology 3D stuff that like James Cameron had. And it doesn't seem like they're really promoting this movie all that well. I mean, you know, I've seen a couple of trailers.
Well, there was a Super Bowl ad, wasn't there?
Yeah, okay. But, you know, how many people who are watching the Super Bowl are going to go to see this movie?
Yeah, fair enough.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. I mean...
Usually there's like... Okay, I just mean like usually there's like, you know, Burger King tie-ins. And
yeah,
there's like, you know, kind of hypes and coloring
well,
books.
Well, you know what? I think the problem John Carter has, the people... You're right. Not enough people even know who John Carter is, right?
Yeah.
But the people that do even... I think it's bundled into the sword and sorcery genre.
Right.
Right? And I think that's a tired genre. Honestly, I think the genre is kind of came and it went and it hasn't come back
no.
yet. Conan's last fiasco last summer shows it.
The problem is they're really, in my opinion, they're really not – they're taking – properties that have already been done. So, for example, they did Conan, which has already been done. It tanked. They tried to redo Clash of the Titans, which is kind of sword and sorcery, you know,
mm-hmm.
sword and sandal. That tanked, you know, for the mm-hmm. most part, like mm-hmm. the new remake did.
Right,
you know,
right.
So, and for John Carter, it's the same idea, but man, they're not promoting enough. I'm a John, like, I know the property.
Right.
I don't even know what's going on in the movie. They're just calling it John Carter. Why did they take it away from the John Carter of Mars part?
Because
at least you might get some science fiction fans out there who aren't aware of it to be interested in it.
Yeah, well, that's another thing is you know, the writing's on the wall with all these sword and sorcery type things not doing well
right.
in the last, say, half decade. You figure, you know, why is the studio pushing this? And the problem is even if this is a bang-on blockbuster movie that's really, really well done, it's just not going to have the word-of-mouth potential to because people will stay away from it because of that genre stigma, I think.
Yeah, I think you might
be right. En masse,
you know
what
I mean? Yeah, you might be right, yeah.
You know, it might have a good cult following and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, this Deadline Hollywood website, they're saying that 53% of the people they surveyed don't even know about the movie at all.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And 3% of them said it's on my must see list, which are very, I guess they do this for every movie.
Right.
And they're saying that these are really bad precursor numbers for the movie's release.
The most interesting fact of all this that I find is that apparently, so, you know, Deadline Hollywood did this big survey thing, and, you know, 27% of those who surveyed were definitely interested in it, but with only 3 saying that they had to go see it.
Yeah.
But then, I love the next quote here. It says, "Women of all ages appear to be very uninterested in the film."
Yes.
So, you know, that's half the population.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that's not looking good.
And here are trailers with a buff, you know, muscular guy running around in a loincloth.
Conan had that too, right?
And, yeah, good point.
So
all right.
Out of luck for that.
All right, listen, I want John Carter to do well.
I do too.
So all comic culture fans, go out and support
Carter.
Him.
Yeah.
All right.
Is Big B going to do a promotion for the movie? Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyways.
Chris, let's keep moving on to industry news, and let's talk about ICV2, which is a great website for the industry. They had they released their top 10 superhero properties of 2011.
This is very interesting. I like this. I like this idea.
So, based on interviews with retailers, distributors, and manufacturers, and they're doing for all sales channels.
Right.
So not just comic books,
no,
but toys and
the entire property itself.
Yes.
What is the property worth?
What are good properties in 2011?
Right.
And I would have thought Avengers would have been number one, but then again, that's 2011, still a year away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So what do they got at number one?
So number one, they got Batman.
Batman,
which I'm not surprised about. Because really, Batman is always number one. Really, yeah. Ever since it's been taken over by Christopher Nolan, for sure.
Yeah.
Batman. It's always the number one in comic books.
I think since Frank Miller did it in the 80s, yeah, Batman has pretty well been number one.
Pretty much. Really, I mean, you know, it's had the most exposure, really,
right.
I would think. You know, TV shows, comics, toys, animated series, the number, like, I mean, five
video
or six
games,
different recently.
You know. If you're talking about one character that's the epitome of the cross-genre marketing.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
great, I mean, video games. Yeah.
Everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Multimedia. Thanks, Andrew. Yeah, Batman is the guy.
For sure.
Then we got Green Lantern.
This is a shocker to me.
What?
A shocker that Green Lantern is number two.
Yeah, me too.
Because, you know what? I would have thought for sure either like a Wolverine or, you know, Thor or something. Iron Man.
Thor didn't even make the list.
Iron Man even, you know.
Yeah, like, Iron Man didn't even make the list. Never got a dinner.
So
Iron Man.
I'm surprised that Green Lantern's even on way up there.
I'll run them down quickly. Batman, Green Lantern, Avengers, the whole Blackest Night, Brightest Day property,
yep.
X-Men, Wolverine, Spider-Man, Superman, Captain America, The Boys, and Hellboy, BPRD.
Okay, so I'm with you on most of them. I completely get it. But you know what? The Boys, number nine. What mm-hmm. was a where did that come from?
That's more like
it's a
cult little thing.
It's
a
cult comic.
You know what it is with The Boys? I think there was rumors about them making a movie on it in 11.
Yeah, you know what? There's been a lot of rumors about other Garth Ennis, Steve Dillon projects in the past too, right? You know,
yeah,
so
that's a good point.
I'm shocked. And Hellboy, well, there could be another movie coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, boy.
But great.
That was,
to see,
of course,
Captain America
there. Ridley Scott's. Never mind. Anyway, all right. Yeah. So,
yes.
Where was Bronies? You know, My Little Pony in this. You know,
right.
We
exactly.
We needed other things. I think
more My Little Ponies.
More My Little Pony. Where was? But you're right. Was Iron Man? Where was Thor? Yeah. They should have been in here.
Yeah.
You know,
Hulk.
Way ahead of the Boys.
Yeah, I agree. Right. I agree.
So ICV2, you know, you're almost there, okay, but you should pretty well maybe give us a call before you make some of these lists.
You know what? Because I got to say that just because the comic The Boys is selling a lot in the store
doesn't
mean that it's number one property in North America.
Yes.
Right? Like, come on. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Get with it.
Where's Walking Dead?
Where is Walking Dead? But I think it's superhero, Chris, so.
Oh, well.
Where's Walking Dead?
Sheriff is a bit of a superhero to some
exactly.
people.
All right. Let's keep it moving. So this new Marvel AVX, which is not a porno, by the way.
It sounds like it is, yeah.
I Googled it.
Oh.
It's not.
Are you disappointed or not so disappointed?
Well, I won't go there.
All right.
Well, my point is it's the Avengers versus the X-Men.
Okay.
It's a 12-issue maxi series about each issue is a big fight sequence.
Right, yes,
issue.
Yes. We talked about this
so
before.
Marvel has come out online and said that we are going to market this thing to the hilt.
Good.
We want local comic book shops to get behind this, order lots.
Right.
And trust us that we were going to get the word out to the masses.
Right. Now, If I remember correctly. Each of the stores has the option of being on either side.
Yeah.
Right? So we had, you know, you can either be an Avengers store or an X-Men store.
Yes.
So now, you know, Walt, you own a store. So which way are you going to go? Avengers or...
I'd have to be in Avengers, right?
No.
Because when I was a young guy reading comic
books. That was about 80 years ago?
5, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, maybe. I doubt that.
It was Avengers for me. It was Avengers was the cool.
Right.
I didn't really read. You got to remember also when I was kind of reading comics into it, the Avengers were – sorry, the X-Men were not being published.
Because it was like Popeye and Dick Tracy. Little Orphan Annie.
Yes. Yes,
I think the Peanuts was just starting to come around, wasn't it?
And the Peanuts was coming around, all right, Chris. The Peanut Gallery. Where the hell was I here? You got me all discombobulated.
That's a big word for a guy that's so old.
For an immigrant.
Anyway,
70, you know, a 10-year-old kid, 74, let's say. You know, X-Men weren't even around.
Right, right,
know.
Right.
And so, you know, not, you know,
They were around. They must have been around.
No, they weren't. They were in reprints.
Okay, well, yeah, but they're still around.
Right.
They're just in reprints.
Yeah,
but you know, but the Avengers are certainly taking off because I mean, as well, I know you're one of your favorite characters. Black Panther.
Is one of your Vision. Yeah, I love those guys. Yeah, anyway, so. Good crew. Good crew. Those Avengers guys. Good bunch of guys.
Good kid there.
Yeah, good kid. So anyway, local comic shops, listen to the show, please. Support this AVX. Make sure there's lots on the shelves for the customers coming in because, you know, you Marvel will corral the customers into your shop.
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to go to Trailer Trash now?
Yeah, let's do Trailer Trash.
All right. Trailer Trash, very, very popular part of the show. Chris and I started a few months ago. So this is where we talk about we're only going to do one today because we've got a busy show. But, Chris, there is a trailer on the internet.
Right.
A new clip from Amazing Spider-Man has been released.
Now, I hear this is a pretty popular clip already.
Yeah, it has footage of an encounter between Peter Parker and a doorman.
Whoa!
This is like wild, wild stuff.
That's craziness.
Yeah. And you know what? I've got an inside scoop. Next week, it's been leaked to me.
Yeah.
Next week, I got an email that Peter Parker... There's a scene where Peter Parker meets a plumber.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wow.
And so who knows where this is
going to
go?
You know what?
Right?
Actually, you know what? If you're in the know, if you're in the know and you know where to go on the internet, there's actually already cut out scenes of Mary Jane ordering an ice cream cone.
Look at you go.
I know.
Right. Now, does she proceed to...
No, that was it. She just orders. She's at 31 Flavors or something like that. She orders it and that's it.
Right. Yeah. I want to see the scene after that.
All right. Well, good luck with finding those scenes. All right. Let's go to a musical interlude here.
Please.
Again, I've got another new one here for you. Another new one. And I'll tell you all about it after the song.
Okay.
I can't hold you down. If you want to fly, can't you see I'm all broke up inside? I'll choose to use your two X-ray eyes. Hurt like kryptonite. Put me on my knees. Now that I found out just what you're doing with your secret identity.
Chris, I really liked that. That, of course, was Elvis Costello.
That actually was a band called XTC.
Ah, that was my next guess.
And I know you're probably wondering what the name of the song was, and that is...
Supergirl.
Well, that's really Supergirl.
Oh, that's really Supergirl. Yeah, XTC.
And I don't know if you caught that line. I think there was a line there that said something about wanting to get inside your fortress of solitude. I'm pretty sure they're talking about, like, her house.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah. Wow. That's kind of very provocative when you think
about
it.
Well, I didn't want to go there, but, you know.
That might actually be, you know, banning material or something like that.
Oh, boy. You know, maybe I shouldn't have brought it up. I don't want to get banned.
Right. Chris, let's keep going. Chris, I don't know. Like, we're already, you know, over half the show is gone.
Unbelievable.
And really, we haven't even said anything.
We haven't talked about anything.
Here, I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. We haven't said anything.
Good show.
Yes. All right. Quality entertainment is what we offer our listeners.
I don't know if it's quality, but it is certainly entertaining.
Right. Listen, this kid named Jamie Blackberry.
Blackley?
Jamie Blackley.
Jamie Blackberry.
He's going to star in
good
this.
Good friends with Phil iPod.
Yeah, yes. He will star in the sequel to 300.
Right.
And the reason I cut and pasted this story was because I didn't know that they were actually filming a 300 sequel.
Yes, I did know about that, actually.
Oh, you did?
Yes,
okay.
I did know about that.
I should ask you these things first.
Well, apparently it's kind of like it's going to be a sequel, but it's going to be a basic but a teenager who lands a small or, sorry, leads a small band of soldiers.
Right. So, it's the same premise. It's
same
old
idea.
Greece.
Yeah,
it's,
that's right.
So it's Frank Miller. Now, it's obviously because I read 300 and I saw the movie. There's no other 300 type of book that
not
I know
that
of.
I'm aware
of.
No, not that I'm aware of.
So
no.
This is new writing. This isn't from a Frank Miller book.
No,
this
no, not that I'm aware of. No.
So will Frank Miller be involved in this?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
Now, I want to know, what's the movie going to be called? Is it
301. 301 Greeks.
Nice.
Yes.
Get them to the 301 Greeks.
See, because Dalmatians, I don't know if our listeners know this. I'll do a little bit of a geography lesson.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Just up the coast from Greece.
Yes.
In the country of Croatia.
Yes.
There's a province of Dalmatia.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Dalmatia's kind of on the coast. And it's really kind of close to Greece.
So now.
And the dogs, the Dalmatian dogs were kind of
from
that region.
Oh.
Yeah. And so 101 Dalmatians.
So 301 Dalmatians.
301 Greeks. Anyway.
I like it. I like it.
All right. That went nowhere. All right. Listen, so that's cool. 300, a sequel. I think hopefully it'll be received as well as the first one.
I hope
one,
so. I hope so.
Was
well, you know
what? Cool
Zack Snyder, for the most part, I like most of the movies that he's done. His most recent one, I wasn't a big fan of. That was Sucker Punch. But,
right.
You know, for the most part, I do like his stuff. Of course, he's also the guy that did the Watchmen adaptation. So he does good stuff for the most part.
Does good work, the kid.
Yeah,
all right.
Good kid there.
Hey, this Jason guy. Now, at our shop, we sell these graphic novels by this Norwegian artist called Jason.
Jason, yes. Yeah.
Very minimalist type stuff.
Extremely minimalist.
Kind of a simplistic, cartoony.
Yeah. Yeah, usually anthropomorphic kind of animals. Where you know, animals who are like people kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And minimalist even in dialogue,
yeah,
but conveying a pretty cool concept.
Yep.
Right. So one of his works, which what the hell is it called?
I killed Adolf Hitler.
I killed Adolf Hitler. They're optioning it for a movie.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is where this guy goes back. It's a time travel saga where this assassin goes back to 1938 to kill Hitler before the war starts.
Right. But.
He inadvertently botches the job and allows Hitler to travel forward in time.
Right, and then thus the story ensues.
Yeah, thus the story ensues. And that's
it's an interesting concept.
Well, it is an interesting concept, but it's also kind of, I guess, the power of how can I say this? You're having a movie here based on a graphic novel with – I'm just going to guess, right? Based on a graphic novel with, let's say – 1,000 words of dialogue.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And that's the great part about, you know, the graphic novel format in terms of what into adaptations of movies. The opposite is to go to like Moby Dick.
Right, and try to
condense, you know, 800,000 words
into like
2 hours.
Five, yeah.
Yeah. And then this is the opposite way where you're taking just a cool concept of a graphic novel and trying to expand on the idea into a full length.
As long as they don't try to add too much, which would water it down or anything like that.
Right.
Like, as long as they don't do that, then it would be good. Because, you know, I got to say that, you know, movies like, remember, you know, the children's cartoon, what do you call it? And therefore comic, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Yes.
You know, well, they made that movie out of it with Jim Carrey. Well,
yes.
They took this, you know, 10-page story or whatever it was, maybe 20-page story, and then they made it into this half-hour cartoon.
Yeah.
And then they took that half-hour cartoon and made it into this 2-hour live-action movie. And by the time, like, it just got watered down.
Right, it was terrible.
You know, I mean, it was terrible, right? Well, at least I didn't like it anyways.
Right.
But,
Fair enough.
Let's hope they don't do that to I Killed Hitler.
Let us hope. Chris Hasbro
The toy company, the big toy company.
Yes, yes.
They have got the rights to the J.J. Abrams Star Trek, the new Star Trek.
Right. So
movie.
Of course, there's J.J. Abrams is making the sequel to his Star Trek movie from a couple years ago, which is the new one's supposed to come out in 2013.
Yep.
And Hasbro, the big toy manufacturer, has the rights to it. So which is great because Hasbro is actually pretty good at making toys.
Yep.
They've been around for a while now, and they keep on improving with technology as technology improves. So this is good. So this is hopefully we're going to have all kinds of new Hasbro and Star Trek collectibles. Now, the interesting thing about this is, of course, Star Trek collectibles aren't anything new, of course.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, movie franchises, there's been lots lately. But back in the day, there wasn't really a whole lot of Star Trek collectibles, unlike, say, your Star Wars.
Yeah, because when Star Wars hit in 77, they had initially that. Was it Mattel or Kenner?
Kenner.
That toy line. And those things are extremely collectible right now.
Right, right.
And, the 60s when the Star Trek TV series came out, I don't know if they had big line. Did they?
Well,
have
they
big
had.
Lines?
Well, has not Hasbro. Mego, of course, had the 6-inch figurines. But even then, you didn't have very many. You had eight or ten or something like
right.
that. And then Kenner came around in 1977 and 78 when they started doing all the manufacturing and all that stuff. It just exploded. And of course, really, and people have often said that it's Star Wars and that whole. Licensing concept is what really helped to explode other movies out of the door kind of thing.
Right. So pretty well what you're saying is, if I read you correctly here, is that it was probably the 77 Star Wars that was the first big
push
adaptation type of thing where the licensing.
Right.
And
right.
You know what? When you equate it to comics as well, even though comics were adopted before, obviously, even going back to Dell and Western Publishing in the 30s, obviously.
Yeah.
But it was probably 77 when Marvel licensed the Star Wars thing that the full potential of what can happen with a company like this.
Yeah.
And that actually ended up, in my mind anyway, it ended up working to Star Wars' favor, the whole franchise's favor, Lucas's favor, in other words, because once the movies were gone, it was the comic books that held the torch or carried the torch for the franchise, giving the fans of the franchise new material every week, every month to kind of keep the fan base alive.
For sure.
So when did the last movie come out? 83, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and so you had, 84, 85, 86, 87. I don't know when the Marvel run ended.
There's 114 issues or something like that.
Yeah.
So there's close to 10 years or so of comics.
Right.
And so
it's 87 anyway. And then it went to Dark Horse.
It went to Dark Horse.
Right.
Now, it's funny. I know it's hard to imagine, but for people now, but back in those days, there was no other Star Wars stuff out there. So if you were a fan, comics were really the only place you could get your Star Wars fix,
right?
So I mean, especially by the time 1988-89 came around, there was nothing available at all. So you had to go to the comics to get that stuff.
Nothing. All right.
Let's keep on going.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of licenses, we've got Stan Lee Media has lost the Conan case. So, of course, Stan Lee Media, which actually has nothing to do with Stan Lee himself.
That's a funny thing.
Right? I know, yeah. Because how does that work again? Oh, so Stan Lee formed Stan Lee Media.
Stan Lee, when Marvel went bankrupt in 98, real quick synopsis here. They stopped paying Stan his $1 million a year retainer.
Right.
Then Stan went out and formed some sort of Stan Lee Media thing. And then a year later, he sold the Stan Lee Media rights to a company that formed Stan Lee Media.
Right.
And then he was kind of somehow kicked out of the company or left the company.
Yeah.
But the company still held his name. And we're at a point now with all this litigation stuff where the Stan Lee Media is suing Marvel – and is suing Stan Lee, and I think Stan Lee is suing Marvel.
Yeah.
And so it's just like a vicious circle of people that are basically – and it's – I don't know what the case here is. I think it's I think Marvel – from what I've read, and I don't want to get into it too deep, but from what I've read, I think Marvel's case is pretty well cut and dried.
Yes.
They paid this guy out they had this contract, and after the bankruptcy, everything was cut and dried. Stan went and did his thing. Stan sold
you know, his name and his rights to this company. This company tried to make it big. It didn't. It went bankrupt. And this company now wants Stan and they want Marvel. And then it's just like a really bad
it's
scene.
It's awful brouhaha.
Yeah. And it's like now it's this company. So they lost the Conan case. But they're going to go back now and appeal two cases that they lost like a year or two ago for Spider-Man and Fantastic Four.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
There's no – I mean – Stan Lee himself never owned those characters.
No.
So why would Stan Lee Media own those characters?
Exactly.
Like, so it's a shot in the dark. You know, I think they're hoping that, you know, maybe something might click and they'll get a few million dollars or something, but it's never going to happen.
You know, it's one of those things, Chris, where it's like, okay, you know, like Disney's got $80 billion trillion.
Right.
And these guys are just like, go away. You know, here's like $1 million. Go away. And they go, yeah,
exactly.
We got the $1 million.
Yeah,
I hope it doesn't happen. I hope these guys just spin their wheels and get nothing. But of course, I do hope Stan Lee has 30,000 people come to his booth this weekend at the London Comic Con.
Absolutely.
So he can make his $500,000.
I hope
quota.
He does. I hope he does.
Excelsior.
Excelsior. All right. All right. What else we got going here? Are we doing? No.
Well, sorry, Chris. I had it in front of me and I pointed to you. I got it all wrong. See,
you got me all confused here.
It's our first week back.
Okay.
Yeah. And
I'll mention it though.
Okay.
I'll save you the next one. John Severin, early EC artist for comics, has passed away. Unfortunately, the end of an era.
We've got 90 years old. So the old man made it pretty good.
Yeah, he began working in comics in the 1940s. He shared a studio with guys like Harvey Kurtzman and Will Elder. You know, he drew a lot of Two-Fisted Tales and Frontline Combat, and then he also helped found Mad Magazine. We were talking about that earlier.
Yep.
And then, of course, then he went on to work for Atlas Comics and Marvel doing
Where I know most of his work from the pre-Marvel. Before Marvel was called Atlas before Fantastic Four and Spider-Man came out, right? And a lot of the titles that introduced the heroes that we know today, like Thor – and Iron Man and Ant-Man were titles that were like launched in the Atlas era.
Right.
So Tales of Suspense, Tales to Astonish.
All those old pulp names.
All those old, yeah. And Severin drew a lot in the 50s for that Atlas. And he drew a lot of the Westerns especially. He was just I know a couple guys that come to the shop and they're just like Severin fans. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like it's one of those guys that I never really – I won't say heard of because I was as a kid, I was in the early 70s. So I knew of Severin because he was drawing then too, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I was more of a Kirby and Adams and that type of guy. And these guys go, no, you got to check Severin
out. And then probably later like Byrne and those guys.
Yeah. And if you look at his work, I mean, it is quality. I mean,
oh,
the guy
awesome.
Knew how to draw.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Right? I mean, he went on to do Sergeant Fury and Howling Commandos, Incredible Hulk. But then, like, here's
Rawhide Kid.
Rawhide Kid. But here's a guy who went off to do Cracked for, you know, Mad Magazine sort of counterpart there. Or not, you know, what do you want to call it, competitor. And then he went on to work for Warren Publishing for, like, Creepy and Eerie.
A lot of great artists worked for Warren. I mean,
Frazetta
did some stuff for Warren,
here's
too.
A guy that basically worked on everything. And even in his last couple of years, at the age of 89, he was working on Witchfinder for Dark Horse. So the guy's 89 years old and he's still working away.
Still working away.
I think
away.
That's
good
fantastic.
For him.
Anyways,
for him.
Unfortunately, we have lost one of the great ones.
One of the great ones and one of the giants. And our condolences to the Severin family. And you know what? Best thing we can do as fans is head into your local comic shop, ask if they have any kind of Severin type of work. And then just, you don't have to buy it, but just owe yourself a quick peek
at
some of the work.
Yeah.
Work
for
that
sure,
he's done.
For sure. All right. Well, let's have a bit of a musical interlude here before we get to the end of the show here. And this one, of course, you'll remember from the Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. Iceman and Firestar. Thank you. Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Yes.
Great pick, Chris.
Thank you.
Let's continue on with New This Week.
Where
are we?
New This Week. Where are you? I think the Walt from half an hour ago just showed up.
That, of course, was the Walt from half an hour ago.
All right, so speaking of crossovers, the Walt from half an hour ago and the current Walt are currently here.
Yes.
So we've got two Walts, which perfectly times the fact that IDW is announcing the Doctor Who and Star Trek crossover.
Yes, the Doctor Who and Star Trek
crossover. Yes, this is awesome.
Sounds like a great idea.
Well, so this I think it's going to be a great idea for all you science fiction buffs out there.
Yep.
So Doctor Who and Star Trek, it's going to be an 8-issue series featured, written by Scott and David Tipton and fully painted artwork
Tipton.
By J.K. Woodward. Now, here's the thing. Oh, and it's also going to have Tony Lee in it as well. Now, here's the thing. Basically, they've come up with a storyline where they're going to have an unholy alliance between the Borg and the Cybermen. And so basically, the two alien races or beings or cyber people are going
to villains of each property.
Yes, are going to come together, and without the help of Jean-Luc Picard and all the Next Generation people, and of course the Time Lord Doctor Who himself, they're going to have to combine together.
To fight these things.
That's right.
Now I'm wondering out loud whether the purists are going to like this or not.
Well. It's a good question. I think because I'm sure there are a lot of Doctor Who fans out there who aren't Star Trek fans and vice versa.
Yeah.
So
like the Doctor Who, I mean, those pretentious British guys.
Well, yes, that's right.
I say. What do we need those Yanks for?
I can't believe they're using Cybermen and not the Daleks.
Yes.
What kind of
poppycock?
Poppycock is this?
Oh, pity.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And of course, all the Next Generation people would be like, well, where's 7 of 9? Why isn't she in this?
Yeah, why? What the heck?
What's going on here?
Guys? That's just so lame.
Yeah, that's so stupid.
This sucks.
Cybermen. Yeah. This is ridiculous.
Cybermen. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a... Never mind. I think it's potentially, if this works, this can open a whole new avenue to crossovers.
Oh, absolutely.
And unfortunately, you and I have nothing funny to add to that. But quick, Chris and I are just talking about the show before we talked about this segment. Goes, oh, Chris, man, this is great. We should come up with a couple of really funny other crossovers. We looked at each other and we said... All right, let's move on.
Let's not do that.
Sounds like a great idea.
It really does.
Great idea. Yeah. And we're hoping for the best there with that.
All right.
All right, let's keep moving, Chris. This is probably now your favorite TV show.
It sets
a new record
for
viewers. That's, of course, The Walking Dead in its mid-season premiere. Why do they have two premieres a year?
They film half the episodes, and then they kind of take a little bit of a break when they get them on the air. But then they're not done yet, so they're still filming. So they need a little bit more time to kind of finish off the filming.
Right. Okay.
So then they have a second premiere, and of course it makes more hype and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
8.1 million viewers watched this. This new issue for the second half of the year.
New episode.
This first issue of the second half. This premiere issue for the second half of year two.
Premiere episode.
Premiere. Damn.
You know,
it's hard.
The Walt from 10 minutes ago just showed up.
It's the Walt from last year.
All right. So anyways, yes, you are right. And
I am?
Well, yeah, in a way. But then after the premiere of The Walking Dead episode, not issue, they had the debut of the unscripted Kevin Smith series, The Comic Book Men.
How cool does that look?
I haven't seen it, I have to say.
Oh.
I didn't get a chance to see it. I actually didn't get a chance to even see The Walking Dead premiere, even though it is my new favorite TV series.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it yet, but I will somehow find somebody who has it recorded. They still record things, right? Like on VHS or something like that? On Betamax.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So anyways, Comic Book Men apparently is doing okay. I haven't heard a whole lot of things about it, but it is by AMC. And I'm sure the cost is a lot lower than Walking Dead.
Yeah. You know what? I read a bit about that, and it sounds to me initially, my initial reaction was like, these guys were trying to cash in on the Big Bang Theory exploitation of
comic culture, which I think, you know, our show.
I think the other thing is that, you know, they figured, well, there's already lots of Walking Dead going on right now, so let's add more Walking Dead and we'll have the comic book men.
Right.
Because, yeah. I mean, it's just a whole lot of zombies anyways.
And they can have, you know how cool that would be, right? And they can use it to sell Walking Dead stuff, right?
Exactly.
Like, oh, you know, you got my new Walking Dead. You
exactly.
Know, Walking Dead can be like, you know how movies and TV series have the product placement?
Right, yeah. Right.
I don't think that Image won't get a lot of product placements.
Maybe The Walking Dead, maybe let it become like a catchphrase. Hey, hey, buddy, you got The Walking Dead? Huh?
Yeah,
huh?
Hey, you know where I can get some Walking Dead?
Get some Walking Dead?
Yeah, huh? Man, down the street at that bar. Anyway.
All right, let's keep on going. We're running out of time here. We've only got about 5 or so minutes left.
What are we
going
to talk about last?
Let's talk about, you know what, let's London SuperCon.
Yeah, the London SuperCon goes this weekend coming up.
Yes, this weekend coming up. And, of course, we have our ace reporter, Danny Champion, intrepid Danny Champion.
Yes, the intrepid Danny Champ. I say, old man.
I say, pip, pip, cheerio.
Danny is... he emailed last week saying he got VIP passes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I like to think that he got those passes because of us.
He did. He did.
That's great.
He emailed them with his credentials.
Nice.
And they basically set him up with
limousines and champagne.
Escort service. Yeah. you said, Danny, my man, anything for you.
Escorts and blow. And,
yeah.
You know.
You are working for Chris and Walt in a way. So, yes, please, anything. So I'm excited for Danny. Because he's going to be basically part of the first London Comic Con in 20, 30 years or something
that.
Right, that's
awesome.
And Stan Lee will be a headliner.
Yeah, well, the lineup is amazing. So we've got Stan Lee and Simon Bisley, Brian Bolan, Howard Chaykin, Bernie Wrightson, Bill Sienkiewicz. The list just goes on and
Sean
on.
Sean Phillips
on.
From Criminal.
Ian Churchill.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that
this goes on.
Cool.
And you know what's also great about this? I love the fact that we've also got not only great comic book creators are going to be there, but long-time good old standard comic book dealers are going to be there. So Harley Yee, who is like
the hardest
working man in comics.
He is the James Brown of comics.
He is, absolutely. I mean, the guy does, what, like 48 shows out of a 52-week year?
I think he does 74 shows a year. Don't know how he does it. I haven't figured it out yet. But he does 70.
He does them from his van on
the
side.
Right.
Ted from Superworld's going to be there. Bob Storm's
Ted's
from
a great guy. Bob's a great guy.
And of course, Metropolis is going to be there.
Yep.
At least we believe.
And you know what's good about that is London. You know, let's put it this way: London is the cradle of the English-speaking world civilization in a way, right? New York is kind of the transplanted cradle.
Yes.
And New York is the wellspring from which comics that we know flow.
Right.
To quote a Conan line there. But really, the...
Wellspring.
The Londonites, the Londoners, the UK guys, you know, the English people.
I say.
They really kind of... want to be collectors of this kind of comic book stuff, but they all have the English versions.
Right.
And what's cool about these old comic dealers going is I know that I've talked to some collectors at shows that I've met British collectors at shows that bought off of us over the years.
Sure.
And they said there's nothing like the 10-cent, 12-cent covers.
Right. Hard to get.
It's so coveted by them because they always have, you know, the 6 pence covers.
Sure,
right?
Sure, right.
And so for them, having these, this is going to be such a bonus for collectors, having these U.S. dealers come over.
Oh, for sure.
And to have kind of the real deal. Not to say that stuff is non-existent over there.
No.
It filters through there. But
to
this
have
is
these
going
guys
to be
come out
this
there,
much
yeah.
at once sure. is going to be great for the comic collector in
well,
Europe.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, when those guys come over here from across the pond,
yeah.
you know, they're already having to spend – you know, thousands of dollars just to get here.
Yeah.
Right? So now now we're going to them.
Right.
And they can spend their money.
Well, yeah. And you've got 20, 30 hardcore guys flying over. Now there'll be tens of thousands
exactly.
that'll have access
exactly.
to it.
Yeah. This is great.
All right.
Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today, Walt.
All right. Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by Andrew Roebuck. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link. Scroll to the bottom. Enter your comments in the comments field. Check us out at getthepointradio.com as well.
And remember, modern agriculture has nothing to do with painting.
Right. Well said, Chris. Please go out and support your local comic book shop.
Have a great day.